Tommy, some big signings today in Ovechkin and Buchnevich, and obviously Pastrnak on a one-year deal. Connor Garland gets 5 years, just under $5 million in Vancouver. Marc-Andre Fleury traded. And it doesn't sound like he really wants to play in Chicago. I can't blame him. Lots of people already thinking maybe he's somehow ends up back in Pittsburgh. What do you make of that deal by Vegas?
I was listening to the Kelly McCrimmon press conference, and he addressed the whole thing about Fleury finding out on Twitter. Greg's, he attributed it to insiders getting information, leaking it out, but if you know you're going to make this move, wouldn't you think the logical thing to do, especially for a guy that's been the face of the franchise since its beginnings, has been a good soldier for the organization, just won a Vezina, took it to a Stanley Cup final, you would give him the decency of letting him know what was going to happen. Hey, Mark, it's Kelly. Just so you know, we're sorry to make this decision. It's strictly business. We backed ourselves into a corner. But given the circumstance, this is what we have to do. We thank you. I don't want you to be surprised in a couple of hours. Really appreciate it. I can understand your frustration. Something along those lines, Griggs. But he clearly didn't do that. And I just think it's a weird look. I mean, everybody was shocked and surprised. We were on the air on the morning show when it went down. And him not wanting to go to Chicago, having his heart set in staying and finishing up in Vegas, the owner telling him he would retire a Golden Knight, those things probably sting him right now. And if he does wind up back in Pittsburgh, I would be very surprised. If he ends up playing in Chicago, I suppose I'd be pretty surprised there too. It's a great city. The organization is trying to bounce back, obviously. But man, I don't think that's how you want to treat one of the first stars ever in your organization, especially a guy that committed to the city and the organization like that.
Well, you know, you look at it, and here's the thing. It's pro sports. Like, the owner probably shouldn't have said it, but years, look at what Chicago did with Brent Seabrook and all these other guys. They lock them up long-term because they won, and then what? The players aren't good anymore. Right. And then the team stinks. So I think it's this, it's only really in the NHL because you don't see it in other sports. You don't see these guys in the NBA getting 5 year terms late in their career. Right. You don't see it in the NFL. You don't see it in Major League Baseball. It's really only hockey. So yep. The owner probably shouldn't have said you'd retire, but Vegas, it's a business. It's a business. In the end of the day, it's like, hey, now some would argue that Marc-Andre Fleury is pretty good, but they've got Leonard and Fleury. Mm-hmm. You don't need that much money sitting on the bench every night in the playoffs. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help you. So I understand why Vegas makes the move. And I think that sometimes hockey fans and some hockey media romanticize the sport for more than what it is.
That's understandable. And I totally agree with the sitting, you know, $7 million one night on the bench, then sitting $5 million the next night on the bench. I completely get that. They flip-flopped. There was apparently a deal, like we saw from some reports, for Leonard. And then yesterday morning, that was the talk. And then yesterday evening, it was, hang on a second, could be a Fleury trade. And it is a business. Agree with you 100% there. But just the decency to let him know this is going to happen. We're sorry. It is a business. I think that's where the disconnect was, and that's where they don't look great in all of this. And you're right about hockey and how the GMs have found their ways to kind of circumvent the CBA by giving out these long-term deals where by years 5, 6, 7, 8, the guys are long since retired and basically forgotten until you find out that a team, some obscure team like Arizona or whatever, still has this guy on the cap as his contract expires. That part of it, I totally agree with. They need to clean that up a little bit. It's a bit messy that way.
Yeah, it's just you pay players millions of dollars for years. They get to play a game, and later in their career, you're like, you know what? We don't think you're worth it. So, hey, we don't want you anymore. Like, we'll take you at a lower value, but then the player doesn't want to sign. And, okay, that's their choice. But, you know, I think if more teams made the tough decision in any walk of life, or the right decision, is usually much harder than what's the easy decision. Because the easy decision is usually the wrong one. Right? Yeah. We all know that. It's much harder to make the right decision. 99% of the time. So, and, you know, most teams just don't do it in the National Hockey League. History has shown us that. And, you know, it's like Washington. Like, I love Alex Ovechkin's been my favorite player in the game for a decade and a half. But he's not as dominant as he was. And to pay him 9.5 mil, that's fine for Ovechkin. And I get that he's done a lot for the organization, but your odds of winning a cup now have dropped significantly because his impact is not going to be the same as it was even when they won the cup in 2018.
They're going to have to retool in Washington to get younger, get fresh legs in, and I'm sure they're trying to. The Dylan move to get them cap space, but that's true. I think now, I mean, obviously they're going to say in Washington they want to win a cup, especially with Ovechkin and Backstrom and all of that, but I think now it just becomes the 894 watch for Ovechkin, does it not? And I'm rooting for him. So few of Gretzky's records get caught up to or surpassed, and this is a great one that if Ovechkin's able to do it, starting out at a time where hockey was just trying to get back to playing offensively, I think it'd be phenomenal. Great story, and that'll certainly motivate him. But I get what you're saying there, too. But let's see him pursue this. It's a steep price to pay, but they've committed to him, so we'll watch this story unfold.
James Neal bought out today, no surprise, by the Edmonton Oilers, so it frees up $3.8 million cap space for the next two seasons. And, you know, what they do with the cap space, because having more cap space is great, but it can also just increase your odds of spending poorly. And we'll see what they do after. Like, we know Zach Hyman's coming to Edmonton. But what else are they going to do in the free agent market? I'm kind of intrigued to see. Okay, if Hyman's their other big ticket long term deal, they need to get a few Tyson Barry, Mike Smith short term deals that pan out.
Yeah, and Barry, as Rashog pointed out, still looking for more term. Oilers not really willing to go there. He'll probably, like Rashog said, go to market. I you know, checked in. And sounds like there's still a couple feelers out there for Koskinen, but who knows where that goes? I like the idea of Bonino. You brought that up. His wife is from St. Albert. That could be a serviceable left shot guy, though. Third line center, penalty kill time. There's going to be other teams trying to get these guys as well. So if Ken Holland can manage the cap space he does have and get some impact players, fill the holes, then we're laughing the rest of the summer as we anticipate training camp. If not, it's going to be scramble time. So we'll see how it happens and all breaks down. It's already crazy, Gregs. It really is. And this is what we were anticipating. So let's just buckle up, enjoy the ride, I guess.
Yeah, you look at Edmonton, I could see them in free agency. You know what? They probably need two defensemen if they can get them. And I could see them actually signing three forwards. To be honest, because, you know, you need 13 or 14. You know, I think Devin Shore was signed. He's replacing Patrick Russell. He's a better player than Patrick Russell. And I won't be surprised if Devin Shore is like your 13th or 14th forward potentially on opening night. I know people say, well, why'd you give him 2 years? Well, they just want depth. And at 850, when the league minimum is 750, his contract doesn't hurt you. And it's not like, you know, all of a sudden there's a massive influx of other better number 13s that, you know, that are gladly go there. So, the Devin Shore, people getting upset about it, I never really understood it. Like, hey, if you do find 14 other forwards that are better, then Devin Shore plays in the minors. It doesn't even hurt your team. So
right.
that was the one that you want. There's things to get angry about. Trust me, the Oilers have given you ample things to get legitimately upset about. That's not
yes.
one of them.
No, exactly. Do you like some of the guys that were left unqualified yesterday? Heinen, Kasha, Donato,
Richie. I like Nick Ritchie. Nick Ritchie, now his price point, I'm curious what it's going to be. I think the big reason Boston just didn't want to go to arbitration, right, gets out of their hands. So, you know, maybe they've talked to Nick Ritchie and, hey, we'll re-sign you. Like Edmonton, when they didn't qualify Athanasiou last summer, it wasn't because they didn't like him. They offered him $2 million.
Yeah.
He didn't take it. Then he had to settle for 1.2, right? Like, here's the truth, though, in free agency. There's going to be a small group of guys who get the money. And then, you know, your bottom six, if you're a bottom six forward, and I know Nick Ritchie had a career year of 15 goals, but that's career high, right? He wasn't even on pace for a career high in points, which has been 31. So as great as it was, and he was red hot shooting the puck, you still kind of got to be realistic on what you think you can get. And I understand why Nick Ritchie and his agents will try to cash in as much as they can. Makes sense. But, you know, I'll be curious. I like Nick Ritchie, for what he brings to a team. Edmonton's still not that big. Like, you look at the playoff teams. Sure, you can have some, you know, smaller skill guys, right? Like, don't mention Nikita Kucherov because he's an elite player. Edmonton has elite guys, but the rest of their lineup, right? You need some semblance of some tenacity, right? Like, who's a jerk on the orders? Zach Kassian. That's it. None of the, like, Josh Archibald plays physical, sure, but they don't have any jerks. They don't have anybody who can change the momentum just by getting you verbally in the game or physically in the game. So I still think that's an element they need to their team.
Well, and on top of the fact that if Kara's gone, if they don't circle back to him and they strike out in free agency, then, yeah, you're much smaller up front. He was one of the big guys. By the way, good call on the term jerk. You do need jerks in your lineup. You need those guys that agitate. And Kassian only does it when he wants to, unfortunately.
Oh, 100%, man.
And yeah.
I think he could be better at it, more consistent, for sure. Now, it's hard. It's just like goal scorers. They don't score every game, so you're not going to be agitating every night where it's noticeable, for sure. But I would take Nick Ritchie because I don't think it's going to cost you that much. To be honest, he was due $2 million. I don't think he's costing you more than that. So he's definitely a possibility on the left side. There's lots of other ones, for sure, because if you're going to play Nugent Hopkins and Hyman on the left side, then you kind of need a third line left winger and you need a third line center. And that to me is going to be the hardest one to fill because there are some players out there that I think can help your team, but I'm not necessarily certain that, you know, they're like third lines. Like Nick Bonino to me is a third line center.
Yeah.
And he is like his production. He's a 35 point guy. You know, he scored a lot of goals, 5-on-5. And the thing about Nick Bonino that I've respected, he's done it in multiple different organizations, which shows me it doesn't matter where he plays. It doesn't matter who he plays with. This is what he brings you. And that's
right.
Important. So I would definitely be interested in Bonino. I think the trade yesterday or last night for Brandon Dillon to Winnipeg means that both Forbert and Poolman are going to test the market. And I think both of those guys make some sense for Edmonton.
Poolman's interesting. There's like minimal offense, and I mean minimal underlined. But he's found himself to be a serviceable, not necessarily tough a la Adam Larson, where he's got that sneer, but hard enough to play against. He scored against Edmonton in the playoffs, fittingly. But if that's where you're going, I'm okay with it. I do like Cody Ceci. That's a good idea there. Brandon Montour is another name, but I know he's not really a shutdown guy. Like, Griggs, in your mind, do you need to go strictly with a shutdown guy on the right side? I like the idea of it, but do you think you need to strictly go to a shutdown guy right side?
I don't think there's many legit shutdown guys available. So I think Adam Larson's minutes are kind of going to have to be split up by two players. One, the right defenseman, maybe 5-on-5, getting some defensive zone starts. But then you're going to need a left defenseman who can kill penalties. I think it's going to be a combination of both.
Lots of work to do, man. Lots of work to do. It's going to be crazy. I'm curious to see where it goes. Part of me is like, I want to know. And you hear some things here and there, but part of me says, yeah, but the chips, the way they're falling right now, is absolutely bonkers. And who knows which way it goes. Could think one way, but it's going to go a completely different route potentially tomorrow morning.
And Tommy, Team Canada got a few more medals yesterday. Maude Chiron in weightlifting in the women's 64-kilogram category. Of course, the women's softball finishes with a bronze. Catherine Beauchemin-Pinard in judo, 63 kilograms. Kylie Massey in the women's 100-meter backstroke. So up to 8 medals. Good count for Canada. Has there been a sport that you're watching that you don't normally watch?
I tried watching surfing yesterday to no avail. They literally waited for 15 minutes. Not one big wave where they can get up on it while I was watching. Actually took off. So I saw them with the Sea-Doos, the guys around the two surfers on the Sea-Doos, choppy water, no surfing. The commentator was talking about the innovation in the boards and how they went to three fins in the 80s. And I was like, all right, I got to go back to the softball game. And by the way, kudos to our women for Team Canada. Kicking butt at the Olympics. The boys got to pick it up, Greggs. It's been all women carrying the flag.
People have asked why they think that is, and I think there's a realistic conversation as to why that is.
So, sure.
We can have it for sure, but great on them. It's good to see.
Absolutely.
Tommy, have yourself a good one.
Sounds good. See you tomorrow, Greggs.